Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for August 1st, 2022. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is episode number 353. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and you should be seeing my screen right now. And today I've arranged for Dave Lucas of 12 Minute Trading to join us again, and Anka Metcalf of Trade Out Loud. And the option professor is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn over to him.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of action in the last week, so there'll be a lot to talk about and see where we're going from here. Market's been kind of choppy on the opening here, down a little bit, up a little bit. So let's get into it first. Before we get started, let's introduce ourselves. First one up is Anka Metcalf from Trade Out Loud. We all know her, but if you're new to the program, introduce yourself, please. Anka?
Hi. Oh, sorry. can I have the mic or?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I just hear, you know, the sound is a little bit fuzzy on my side. So,
Well, you're just going to introduce yourself a little bit and tell us a little bit about Trade Out Loud.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, David, for having me. This is one of my favorite shows to be on, actually, where we talk about the market and we talk about the market sentiment. Anyway, so my name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com. TradeOutLoud is a boutique private firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade pretty much any asset. Whether it's equities, futures, forex, cryptos, anything that can be chartable. I have been a professional independent trader for over 19 years. Trade Out Loud is going to celebrate very, very soon. It's 13th anniversary. And prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. I'm also the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system that is based on 8 layers of price support resistance, specific trigger times for day trading, specific price zones to layer into trades, to leg into trades, to scale into trades, whether day trading, swing trading, or investing, or even active investing. I'm also a true believer of chart synchronicity and divergency, and that's how I find my best trades. I have a strict set of trading rules and a 10-point scoring system that enables myself and my traders to identify trades with ease. And I also specialize in high velocity trades, high velocity moves within trades.
And you explain that, how that works when people call you up.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm looking at the high velocity trades are based on multiple momentum action throughout multiple timeframes, and they have pretty much the same location for trigger prices.
Sure. I got a couple of markets I want to ask you about a little later that have today particularly have given a pretty good momentum thing. Dave Lucas, 12 Minute Trading. You're an educator and also a doer. So a little bit about yourself and what you're doing at 12 Minute Trading.
Sure, everyone. You may hear my dogs in the background today. It looks like somebody just showed up at my house for some maintenance, and the dogs always love that. So if you hear some barking, I apologize in advance. But Dave Lucas, 12 Minute Trading. I'm actually an entrepreneur who got into trading almost about 20 years ago. So I actually originally cut my teeth in real estate investing and building businesses. I've been on the Inc. 5000 list with my companies 7 times, the Entrepreneur 365, been on TV, been all that fun stuff, Forbes, Inc., Yahoo Finance, all those places over the years for different business pursuits and that sort of thing. And I really committed myself back to trading, gosh, about 15 years ago. When my wife and I decided to adopt our daughter from China. And at the time I was really highly leveraged. I had sunk most of the money I had into what became my largest business that ultimately, sold, just a little, you know, about a year or so ago, and, built that thing up, did all that. But the money was tight, and I'm sitting there going, well, you know, we've got this adoption coming up. I've got these other things going on for, you know, my businesses and everything else. I've got the real estate and everything. And I need to find a way to create consistent cash flow so that I can not have to finance my daughter. That was the goal, right? Between, you know, the money I was making, that sort of thing, building the businesses. I just didn't want to have to use a credit line or an equity line or home equity line to do that, which a lot of people do. So I got back into trading the markets. And for me, I do things very differently than most people do. I don't buy anything. I sell options. And we can talk more about this later. It's because I put all the odds in my favor. I pretty much am like Moneyball for trading. Mm-hmm. If you guys have ever seen the movie Moneyball, I stack all mm-hmm. the odds in the deck in my favor, and I collect consistent cash flow from the markets. I'm not a home run guy. I'm a consistent base hits guy that adds up to home run type profits. And my whole goal was, how do I create professional trader like income without having to put in professional trader like time? And over the years, I've refined it to the point where I trade in less than 12 minutes a day. And so hence the name 12 minute trading. And I've been able to create massive income from the markets doing that, and just stacking the deck in my favor and letting the percentages and the odds work for me. So that's just a little bit of the background of how we do that. We track all of our trades going back to 2013 and publish them. We've averaged over a 90% win rate for that time. And been fortunate to, at this point, mentor, educate, and train thousands and thousands of students worldwide on how to, create this income from the markets and reach their personal financial freedoms from doing it. So.
Yeah. With regards to your real estate background, it's kind of, a transference into creating cash flow, because when people buy real estate, mm-hmm. they rent it out and they try to get cash coming in that way. And yep. in this type of tactic, what you're trying to do is the same idea of generating cash flow. But if you don't like the tenant, you don't have to go to the sheriff to get him out. You just call up and say, close me out on this. And that liquidity factor, that is the thing that really separates the men from the boys on this. You know what I mean?
Well, and the beautiful thing about like buying real estate, you guys have all heard you make money when you buy, right? So if you get a dollar for 50 cents, you're doing pretty good, right? That's what you want to do. Right. Well, if you go buy a property, like let's say there's a property on the market for, $100,000. And you guys go out there, tell me how this would work if you went out and did this. You go to that property owner and say, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'll buy that property that you got listed for $100,000 for $75,000. And I want you to pay me $1,000 to buy it from you at that price. What would happen if you did that?
He'd probably tell you to get lost.
They'd probably tell you to get lost. Well, right. Hey, guess what? That's what selling a naked put is.
Yeah.
You know, so it's in the markets, you have actually a lot more capability to even stack things even more in your favor than even in the real estate world. You just don't necessarily have all the tax benefits that some of the real estate gives you. But that's what I love about being able to sell, is you can have a lot more even control over the transaction in the market.
Yeah, well, the liquidity thing, you get into a bad real estate mm-hmm. deal and nobody wants to buy your property, or your guy That's won't right. pay rent, you're in big trouble. But they both are, in fairness and balance, they both have a potential of a black swan event. And so mm-hmm. obviously that's why you have to keep the risk in line, and you have to be aware of what you're doing, and you have to be suitable to do it. Because again, black swan events don't happen all the time, but if they do happen, that's enough for you. You know what I mean? So yep. both of them have, because like in 2008, that was a black swan event for real estate and the stock market. So those events don't happen all the time, but you have to be vigilant on that, because again, if it does happen or start to happen, you have to be able to adjust,
Yep.
No doubt about it. All right. Well, let's get into it here, guys. We have got the S&P today. I think it's down a little bit now, but our game on Mondays is to say what's going to happen by Friday. So I'm going to get the opening price here on SPX, which is the cash for SP 500, which the whole thing's based on, in case anybody wanted to know what they base it on. And so SPX opened up at 41.11. And so 41.11 was our opening on SPX. Where will we be on Friday? Anka, the crystal ball lady from Florida, what do you got?
Okay, let me rub my
Swami, crystal ball. Tell me right where now. We're going.
Okay, so you just want a number, no explanation or anything.
Well, right now we just want up, down, and what's your percentage of confidence?
I think that perhaps over 4,200.
Okay, so the word is up, and then the percentage confidence is?
I would say 80%.
Oh, okay, you're pretty confident then. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And with regard, and we'll get into your reasoning in a second here, but let's get Dave's angle. 41.11, and between now and Friday, what are you thinking?
Told my students this week, sideways to slightly down.
Okay. So a little bit more, shall we say, bloom comes off the rose a little bit this week. And what's your confidence level, Dave?
80%.
Okay. So you both have pretty good convictions here. Now let's hear what's behind the curtain. Anka, what are you thinking as far as you think it's going to go to that number? What's your rationale? And then where will you maybe say, you know, this isn't happening? What would be a line in the sand where you might say it's not happening?
Perfect. So currently, I think that there is a little bit of a divergence in the market, in the overall market structure, because last week, we just closed up a phenomenal reversal in the SPX for July, and we have an inside bar. So typically, these are bullish signs, contingent on they break above the prior month's high and they stay above the prior month's high.
Mm-hmm.
The monthly chart is still in a very powerful uptrend. And so far, we've only had this pullback, which is pretty much, if you look at, you know, FIBs, or if you, and the one thing that I look at is, for example, the Fibonacci level that I traced from the March 2020 low, from the pandemic low all the way to January high this year. And we had a retracement to 38.2% rotation right into those areas, especially that we closed right on that fib line in June. We opened on that fib line in July and we extended higher. We do have a very strong resistance level. We have massive confluence resistance into the 4,200, massive.
Right.
And that is
right.
Because we have 3 months. If you're looking at the monthly chart, we have 3 months to the left-hand side. So that is February, March, and April, which were very bullish. They held the low. So now that location becomes minor resistance for ongoing price action. So that is the line in the sand. So we really need to punch into that 4,200 and stay above throughout the month of August. There was still plenty of time. This is just August 1st. Now, when we go to the weekly chart, so again, monthly chart, bullish bias, because we are in an uptrend. We don't have any technicalities that will suggest that we're in downtrend. So very strong. On the other hand, on the weekly chart, we already have a confirmed downtrend. And what we've had, so for the last 3 weeks, we've had a bear rally. So we are back into resistance. That 4,200 again is that line in the sand that wants to be tested. And we have a prior high that almost went into that 4,200, didn't really get into there. It was like 4,170 or 80 or something like that, if I recall exactly, was end of May. And we literally have topped in there. We moved down from there and now we're rotating back up. So we're back into that resistance area. Now, if we look on a little bit of macro level, again, we're trading above the 4,100, which was a big test because if you guys recall on the daily chart, and Jim, if you could put the daily chart.
Because, one last thing before we leave, though. Yeah. This is, can we go back to the other chart? Because I think it's very, very key. We are hitting the blue line, which is obviously some resistance. And then we are hitting the 50 at RSI. So this is kind of crunch time right here, isn't it?
Yes, I agree. This is the moment of truth.
Yeah.
So if we manage to break above the whole number, I think algos are going to go nuts. And
they will. I think that, yeah. And then and then if there's no offers like there was last week, I mean, nobody was selling any stock because, again, they're all down. They're all down. And if you've held it this long, you're not going to sell. And then, of course, with that idea that the pivot might be happening or whatever else nonsense they were talking about, or the earnings were not as bad as people feared. So there's no offers. And all they do is, boom, press the side that there's no liquidity. And then, bam, you get like you get now. Now, there's some liquidity because there are some people who are willing to sell up in this neighborhood, I guess. But it looks like a very key neighborhood. If we break through that number, that blue line, you know, that's going to be very positive, huh?
Yes. And I think the line in the sand is going to be 4,080, because if we start breaking the 4,080, then we're going to go back to 4,000 and perhaps even lower. But that 4,080, and we are trading right now into the core of an activity that we had from end of May through beginning of June. We had a big cluster on the daily chart throughout that period. And right now, the price action is trading exactly into that core of that price action, is trying to digest it. The fact that the price is not coming in shows that there are still buyers at that level, and all they're looking for is to digest that area and execute the breakout to 42,000 to 4,200 and then possibly breakout above. And this is literally the line in the sand. The fact that today we have inside activity, it means that we are holding very strong. We have not violated Friday's low. We have not, triggered by much. We tested Friday's high. We actually punched in a little bit higher in the first 2 hours from the open, but we're steadily holding a massive ultra power trend. We're trading, for example, on the 1H chart, the 1 hour chart, above the 10 EMA. So that's an ultra power sign that the price action is not giving up. So we haven't closed below it, or we haven't broken below it in price action. So we're very steady above those MAs. We have a nice fanning out of the moving averages, which means traction. So the algos are still very happy and trigger happy. So as long as we hold these levels,
I love those numbers, 4080 and 4100. Those areas have got to hold, because if they break that, then there'll be a little vacuum down, I think.
Yeah, which is fine because we could trade short.
Two things that I was watching is I think if Apple starts trading under 160, 157, and the VIX ever gets above 25, it seems to me that those would be the two signals that I would say, hey, this thing is done. As far as the rally is concerned, because if the VIX gets above 25, there's a little bit of, I don't know if we can get a VIX. I get it on the cash market. But anyway, Apple had a lot of long-term activity around 160 that it broke above. But if it broke above it for 2 days and then starts trading 156, that means they just goosed you and they're going the other way. The volatility thing, you see, it's made a little bit of a lower low here. And I'm just thinking if it gets above the blue line, above that 25 number, with some momentum. I think because this could be a little bit of a divergence or a little bit of a, just a little lower low than the 2250. And then basically it could be a false move to the downside. So I think it's very key where we are right now. If you started taking out your numbers of 4080 and then you saw the Apple at 157 and you see the VIX jump to 2550, that could be indicating a little bit of a turn. But until then, the evidence is still on your side, I think.
So we trade on the long side until it doesn't work anymore, and then we
get to that's what it's all about. It's don't fight the tape, let it go where it goes. Dave, let's hear your side of the story on the it's going to be a little bit quiet this week and it might have a little bit of a pullback. What's the story behind you?
So I'm going to do a big ask and you can say no, because maybe not. Would I be able to show something from my screen?
Can you do screen sharing, right?
Yeah, as long as you let me,
you should
share,
be able to.
I'm going to pull up a chart. I want to show you what I'm looking at and what I share with students. So
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Seat okay? So a couple things. So when I was on here last week, I talked a lot about how I'm a big fan of the Bollinger Bands and how they act like the ropes of a boxing ring. And they bend, they don't break, right? So when the boxer hits against them, it throws the boxer back in, right? And this bottom line that you see here is a proprietary indicator. It's one that was developed by myself and others. Even like Doc Severson uses it. It tracks the energy in a chart to trend. So it's really a derivation of the choppiness index. So that's what it is, right? And so what we see is typically when we get outside the Bollinger Bands, we typically get thrown back in. And especially when the energy is leaked out. So this was a big energy swing, right? We were full of energy. We were right here. We had a little squeeze on the bands. We popped out of there, came all the way up to here, and we bled that energy out. And just about every time we get up in here or above the Bollinger Bands with that energy being that low, you typically pop back in. And you can even see that going back like right here, right? We burned that energy out, right? Hit right up here and then gave it back. Now, I don't think we're in a position where we're going to pull all the way back to the lower Bollinger Band, but I do think we're in a position where we need to take a little break because we've gone so far, so fast. We bled out this energy. We need to recharge a little bit. So that's when you typically pull in, walk sideways in here to down and charge yourself back up. And that actually could happen and play itself out. This is a 1 year daily chart. And these daily swings, you can see they happen over maybe 5 to 10 trading days, right? So it's not long. So we pull back for a couple days here, and here we we could get this thing charged back up and ready to trend again. And that's when things are going to get interesting, because we've got the jobs numbers on Friday, and that could be a catalyst. Right. And so when I look at charts, I always look at the daily, but I kind of look at things from the inside out. So if I want to go to the next level, now I look at the weekly chart. Now this is really interesting, right? We've come off this bottom, we've held this moving average, and this is a simple moving average, regular Bollinger band, 0, 20, -2, 2. Mm-hmm. And you can see this is now, and I told my students, it was interesting. Last week, this hadn't turned over yet. Mm-hmm. So this weekly energy is up there, charged up again. This is about that charge level, and it's now turning over, and we're continuing to head higher. So that tells me that, hey, you know, this week, maybe just a sideways, maybe a little bit down, just to get that energy on that daily chart charged back up. But if this thing wants to go, you're headed back up. And a weekly swing can go for 8, 10, 12 weeks. That could take us to the next Fed meeting. And so this is really the crux of it. And I think this will play itself out by the next week or so and really tell us which way it's going to go. Usually when this thing gets below 50, you can confirm a trend. So if this continues higher next week, gets below 50, you're in a good weekly trend bleeding out this energy. And so that's kind of where we're at. That's why I made the call the way I did for this week.
Well, I'm just reviewing. First of all, you both are making the same point in that we are in a very critical area around this 4150 area. And if we get through the 4150, it opens up the door to who knows where on the upside. It could be a pretty much of a melt up. On the other hand, this is a crunch time. And like Anka was saying, if you start breaking 4080, then we're probably going down to the lower end of that band, which looked like about 3900 and change in the midpoint.
Mm-hmm. On the daily. Ironically, the fastest daily way to charge up the daily chart is actually a big drop down. So if this thing dropped, 50-60 handles in a day, charge it right back up, and they could resume the trend if it wanted to. So we're kind of at that. Do we continue on?
Yeah.
Or do we do one of these and puke back lower again?
You probably might want to see 4080 before you really think that it's going to the midpoint there of 3926, because if you start seeing prints of 4150, 4170, then the probability of going down is reducing, right?
Now, I'll tell you something else, too, that I noticed just coming into today, something for just today, you day traders out there.
Yeah.
This guy, this 15-minute chart, five-day chart, which will play out the rest of today.
Yeah.
It's ready to go. It's starting to trend. It looks like it's going lower. So it looks like maybe that sell-off day could be into the end of today. Remember, amateurs open the market, the pros close it. So after 2 o'clock, right, is probably when you'll see it set in. If it's really going to trend down, head down lower, that's going to follow on. You'll maybe get a waterfall down to that 4080 level. So that'd be interesting to see today. So
believe a little bit like I do that turnaround Tuesday and turnaround Thursday are big days. So if you were going to get a turnaround to the downside, you know, Tuesday is always a nice one to see, right?
Well, yeah. But here's the thing, the way I trade, right? Well, I'll pull this back up one more time for you guys. But the way that I trade, I don't care.
Yeah.
I bracket these things, right? So I say to myself, you know, all right, at the beginning of the week, I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to sell and bracket this market. So I'm going to sell, you know, an iron condor, put a call spread up here around, like today was around 4,300 on the S&P.
Right.
And then down below this moving average, because I see this as a pretty good level of support if we came down to it. If we crash down through, we're probably going to do one of these, right? But I set up, you know, a five-day trade. You know, I'm targeting, you know, on that strategy, targeting 2%.
Right.
And I'm down below 3,900 down here. And so usually what happens is you get these swings back and forth, and I have my exits in, and then I'm exiting both sides on different days. I may get out of the top side today and the bottom side tomorrow if we get a little bit of a rally. Right.
Right.
So kind of what you're talking about. So for me, I just set it up so that time works in my favor,
right,
and that I don't have to worry about calling direction or being have to be right. I just make money in the margins where the market's not. And that's kind of the way that I look at it.
And there's a good illustration of how you come up with your parameters. You're using the Bollinger Band. So you're not just throwing it against the wall. Bollinger Bands are giving you some parameters. And then you're saying, okay, these are the parameters we're going to work with.
And I can actually do you one better. We've done an analysis, an exhaustive analysis of the max moves in any given period,
right,
for the stocks, the indexes and everything in like a 5-day period, a 10-day period, a 20-day period. And so I've actually got a live interactive tool that interacts with the live markets that tells me exactly where the max move for like a 5-day period would be if I pulled it up right now. Like if I looked at it right now, it would tell me right now that if I place my trade, if I want a 93% chance to win, if I place my trade on the call side above 2080, I'm going to win. If I place it below 1610, I'm going to win on the Russell. If I go to the S&P, because that's what we're on, it is, let it load.
And who comes up with those probabilities anyway? You know, because I've heard that before. This option has X percentage chance of going to zero.
This is actually going off the OTM, percentage out of the money. Okay. That's in this case, Thinkorswim. So,
okay, so Thinkorswim generates this number?
Yeah, but also outside of that, I confirm it with the actual data. So we've gone back and got every open and every close for the last 5 years of the indexes and the movement in those time periods. So we actually have the raw data, and we build our own tools off of them that tell us, hey, you know, the max swing for the SPX in a 5-day period is, you know, I think it's around 290 points to the upside, about 363 to the downside. So right now, if I want a 95% win rate on the SPX this week, if I'm going to the top side, I need to place my trade above 4260. If I want a 95% win on the downside, it needs to be below 3920.
All right, so I'm getting it now. I'm, you know, this is the second time I've heard you talk, and I've been in this thing for decades. I'm getting it now. If you're looking to do a cash flow oriented strategy, you're doing that. If you're looking to have the discipline of using the Bollinger Bands as your parameters, you're doing that. And basically those are the things you're trying to do. Create cash flow.
I like to keep things very simple.
Yeah.
I think the more indicators, the more things we put on a chart, the more
noise
that we bring in, the harder it is to trade, you know? So I keep things pretty simple. I use my energies and the Bollinger Bands and the data. And I will say the data has proven itself time and time again. I mean, even last week where the SPX, I was working with students. We had a short-term trade on, and the level was 4140 for close at expiration. That thing shot through 4140 in the final hour. In the final 10 minutes, it gave it all the way back to end at 4130, and that trade won.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
so you have a discipline, which is important. And when you're trading options, you have no discipline, you're going to be a short liver here. So
that's very true.
You have a discipline, and you are letting time work for you. And then as long as you keep the sizing in order, it's a reasonable approach.
It is. Position sizing, it needs to be consistent. And even you still have to have defense. If I'm going in at a 95% chance of winning, you know, that means, you know, let's say I do 20 trades, that means 2% of two trades are going to go against me, right? So I have to have defense, and I have defensive measures that I put in place and do and manage my
trades. And the Thinkorswim, so you're not coming up with the probabilities out of your ear. You're using the Thinkorswim information, and obviously it's not flawless, but it's better than guessing.
And then I confirm it with the actual data. So when I look at the data analysis that says, okay, is what Thinkorswim saying right? Can I go above there? Do I need to go below there? And that's how I set my parameter.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, very, very useful.
I'll give you back the con. Useful.
Yeah, yeah. Anka?
Yes.
Yes. It's time for you to step up to the microphone and sing your song, you know?
Okay.
Give us a little bit of idea. Some of the things you're looking at, some of the things you're doing as we speak. And I was going to ask you a few markets that I saw, see if you saw them as well. But some ideas that you have now.
Okay. So definitely I'm looking and I'm seeing that there's a little divergence that we have through some different sectors in the market. And I think that today is a total digestion day. And this is usually what happens after you have three updates, consecutive updates. And I think that this is it was pretty much expected to have a pause day today. So I even mentioned this in our trading room this morning, and I mentioned this at at the beginning, obviously, of the session. I mentioned this last week when we had, you know, the very nice rally into the market. So speaking, you know, of like stocks, we're noticing that consumer cyclical and consumer defensive are up again. We have Procter & Gamble that is rallying. We have Microsoft that is coming back, filled up that hole from last week when, you know, they were talking about Walmart and the fact that, you know, their sales are slowing down and expectations are lower for possibly the following quarter. And it was bought with both hands because these, as everybody know, these are recession-proof stocks like Walmart, Costco, Target, Kroger, et cetera. So we're seeing a continuation into the consumer defensive today, which is in line with the recession that we're in right now. So we have Coca-Cola, Costco, Target, Dollar General. So it's literally playbook time. We have, they're up for today, right? We also have Amazon and Tesla that is up. We have Home Depot. Home Depot is also a great, you know, inflation hedge, but it's a great stock to own into recession, like Home Depot, Lowe's, et cetera. And everything has played out beautifully. So what we have discussed last week with my members, everything just started to play out wonderfully. I'm seeing a lot of pressure still in technology, but I'm not seeing any downside yet. Because I'm a day trader, that helps me a lot to also gauge the momentum for my swing trades, active investments, and also investments. So I'm seeing a pause in Microsoft, a little bit of down, Apple as well, but not significant because they're still holding some beautiful parameters. For example, McDonald's is another stock that everybody should have in their portfolio. And this is not investment advice. This is what I've done to my portfolio in 2008, where it literally thrived. And I have so many of the traders thrive and not, you know, struggle to survive. So we have a beautiful sandwich that is happening in McDonald's on the daily, totally breakout. This is one. And by the way, what I wanted to mention is that the stocks that I have just mentioned, they offer beautiful dividends. So this is one of the things, like, you're getting paid to own it. That's why I love owning stocks. We're seeing a beautiful activity today in Boeing, but Boeing evidently had some news into it. Financials are not, I mean, they are trying to hold. However, they are on, you know, they just hit the pause button because I think that, you know, they're pretty much waiting for a little bit more price events before they continue hiring. I'm talking about American Express. I'm talking about Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and all these other financials that are pretty much have instinct patterns. One other thing that I've noticed is in the tech sector is taking a little bit of a breather today. You mentioned Apple earlier, and I have to say, I do like Apple as long as it's, you know, holding above the daily 200 SMA. I think that hedge funds are going to love it. And if it should start breaking over 164, hedge funds are going to be all over it. And they're going to push it definitely at least into the 170s. I think there are great opportunities for stocks like Amazon, Apple, just gorgeous, gorgeous opportunities out there. If you're on the long side, if you have a time horizon, you know, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, if you're looking at your retirement account or even something that is actively investing, it is totally worth it because they have beautiful setups. I'm not a fan of social media like Meta and Twitter. I think they are pretty choppy and they're not going to do anything much. Like I said, my favorite, and I don't have any calls right now, if you will, any trades, any new trades. Is just a continuation of the trend from the consumer defensive that I spoke about last week. That was before we had the GDP numbers come in, and it was definitely before we knew we were in a recession. I mean, there's no way, you know, we could go about it, and whatever you want to call it these days, it's still a recession. I mean, numbers don't lie. We lived through it, but this time is a little different because we have inflation and we have really high inflation. And that's a little bit problematic, because if we don't get a grip on that, you know, things could go south really fast. Why am I not bearish on stocks? Because I just said that, you know, probably we could go south fast, is because we don't see devaluation. Yeah. And because we don't see devaluation, there's still, you know, there's still, it's not your, let's say, 2010 market. It's not your 2000 market. This is a totally different market.
Yeah.
That is operated by tons of algorithms. It's operated, you know, through different, through social media sentiment and all that stuff. So it's a totally different market. So you have to keep tabs on, you have to have your antennas everywhere, and you have to know how to put this information together. But it's cool. I love it.
I was going to ask you a quick question on the Federal Reserve. You know, their big mistake last year was saying transitory, and that mistake sent these prices way down. This year's mistake is that 2 and 2.5% is neutral, meaning it's neither accommodative or restrictive policy. It's clearly accommodative. And ergo, that mistake that they're making, that 2.5 or 2% is a neutral rate, don't you think that's really helping stocks, just like transitory?
I think so. Big
mistake,
yes.
And hurt it?
The Fed's absolutely behind the eight ball.
Yeah. No, yeah. But I'm saying that their ability to forecast, I mean, they might as well put a blindfold on, they do better. I mean, I think the market is saying these guys think 2% or 2.5% is neutral. Bring the party back out, because that's not going to stop this freight train. And yeah. I think so. I mean, something's got to give when these guys come back from their Jackson Hole, whatever they're doing over there. You know, if they find out that these numbers are not shrinking at all and the market is steaming, you know, they're going to have an interest rate policy that's much different than people anticipate. Mm-hmm. And that might be when the risk shows up.
That's why the points that you guys just made were, I think, are important, because I think that's our run room. I think we can run up into that meeting, and then the market's going to realize that the Fed isn't going to be as accommodative as they thought. And then that's when you start to see the selling. And that makes sense, right? When do we usually see the volatility in the fall, September and October? And then we run in the fourth quarter, have a Santa Claus rally and all that fun stuff. So we've got a, that's why that I was saying that weekly chart's important to watch, because if it does really start to trend, you're going to get that. It's going to end right about the time of that Jackson Hole meeting. And the Fed's going to come out and do what they do. And, you know, his language was interesting this last time. And I thought he'd be accommodative in that sense. And he did that. He basically said we're close to neutral. But I don't think that means that they're going to put their foot on the brake. And I think the market took that as, oh, okay, we're not going to do much more for rate hikes. I think you're going to see, I think the market's already pricing in rate cuts by May of next year. I just don't see that happening, unless they're just not serious about inflation and don't care.
Yeah,
and just are going to run with 5%, 6% inflation, and that's the new norm instead of the 2%, which it could be, right? It's good for them, because they're paying back the debt cheaper, right? You know, they like inflation. That's the dirty little secret. The Fed loves inflation, because it just means all those dollars are being paid back cheaper. And, you know, that's a good thing for them. So it's...
we saw in 2008, when deflation hits, the whole system goes under. So the whole thing is based on borrowed money, and the whole thing is based on leverage. And if the rates go up or things slow down too much, and everybody has negative, and everybody has
I don't equity. Think people realize that all money that exists is debt.
Yeah.
It's all debt. Absolutely. Like if everybody paid back their debt, there would be no money.
Just look at every car on the highway and figure out that 90% are leased, right? So, you
know. Yeah, it's all debt. Exactly. So. It actually is a great book. If anybody ever wants to have some fun reading it, it's called The Creature from Jekyll Island. It explains our whole financial system.
Amazing recommendation.
Incredible book. And your mind will be blown when you learn about the Mandrake mechanism. It's all debt. So, there's a few things too. I just mentioned it a minute ago. Remember I said that 15-minute chart was looking, you know, watch that and we'll see if it starts to go. And it has started to go lower and trend lower, and the energy is bleeding out. And that's why we're getting this kind of drop down that we've gotten in the last few minutes. So so that looks like we are trending lower, at least on the 15-minute chart, for probably the next at least hour or two, maybe into the end of the day at this point, because it's just starting to leak down. So, you know, again, you day traders out there want to make some money to the downside, might be a good time to look at that. A couple other things. You mentioned Amazon. You know, it was interesting. You mentioned Walmart and Amazon in the same breath, and look at the tail of two different stocks last week. Mm-hmm. Walmart got crushed. Mm-hmm. And then Amazon, I thought Amazon would go along away with Walmart, right? Because if Walmart was soft, you think Amazon would soften. And you can see Walmart's rebounding today. But Amazon, see how far it is up outside up there? If the Bollinger Bands were on this chart, it would be outside the Bollinger Band. So mm-hmm. I would not be surprised to see Amazon have a little bit of a pullback to like the 130, 129 level, and then really go running from there. So something to watch. You want to get, you know, if you're patterning this or want to get a good idea of something to look for, you know, that would be something that you should keep on your radar if you see it pull back to like that 130 range. Or,
yeah. Amazon has a different customer than Walmart. That's the story in a nutshell.
Well, Amazon's not Walmart. Walmart's not Amazon. And obviously, Walmart's not in the cloud business and everything else, right?
But exactly. There you go.
But if things do kind of continue lower at the end of the day, don't be surprised if Amazon drops to 133, 132, you know, and that'd be a good time as it gets back inside those bands to pick it up. Its chart's exhausted from that move. So it's going to have to stay in this range for a little bit, but I think Amazon definitely has 160, 170 in it by the end of the year.
What do you guys think of Fortinet, FTNT? It's starting to get a little bit of legs and you know, it's cybersecurity and, you know, probably get hit with something on that area. If it starts moving, it could have some potential on the upside, right?
You know, it's funny. I heard I was actually watching Fox Business this morning and somebody brought that up about the security stocks haven't begun to move yet. Mm-hmm. Everything else is moving, but the security stocks haven't really begun to move. So yeah. I think, you know, just looking at it, if it can get above that moving average there and kind of hold it, you know, and can it has some room to run, maybe up to 63, 64 from here, at least in the short term, right? That would be the upper Bollinger Band on it from what I'm seeing. So it's definitely, it's got full energy on my side. So it's got the energy to trend. So I think that's a sector to look at.
I have an alert on it at 63.50 for a buy until then. To me, it's not a buy.
No, it's something to keep an eye on though.
Yeah,
something to keep an eye on. What about this infrastructure? You know, a Manchin seems to be an agreeable guy all of a sudden. Maybe he would agree to some infrastructure deal. What about Cleveland Cliffs, CLF?
I've always liked Cliffs. It's a good stock, mm-hmm. Good company. It's had a heck of a run. I remember when it was $2. So that's, you know, that's one. ATI is another one that, you know, is, or yeah, $4 down there. See it? Yeah. ATI is another one that runs along with it. Allegheny. You know, right now it's in the middle of a move up. It's got maybe a little more room to go from what I see on the charts there. You can see it's holding above there. It's hitting up against the upper Bollinger Band right now from what I see, but it's at about 48 for its energy. So it's in the middle of the range on there from what showed earlier. So maybe got 19 in it, 20 in it in the time being. I'm talking about Cliffs. ATI is similar, has a little more room to the upside. Maybe, you know, get up to about 28 or so potential if it really wants to run. But you know, these stocks seem to be trading in this range of like 15 to 25 or 30. That seems to be where they stayed for a while.
Now, Anke, are you doing anything with the grains? Because it clearly got a great sell signal in the soybeans today. And also the oil is obviously falling. Is there some opportunity or some of these stocks like CF Industries or ADM or on the oil sector, Halliburton, Schlumberger, and maybe XLE? Is there vulnerability to these yet or no?
We have played it to the upside. We actually sold into the momentum last week. But they look very strong. I have another buy signal lining up, but I think that they're going to be waiting for a pullback. I have a confluence support zone on my charts, massive into the 91.50.
Right.
So if it should pull back between 90 and 91.50, only on confirmation I'm going long. So that's because I'm not doing options. So I'm not aggressive into it because I buy them. So I'm looking for a technical rotation that will confirm the price higher. So far, I have no buy signal, no sell signal into it. So I'm just going to let it trade until it meets my buy zone.
Yeah. The direct opposite of what people think sometimes what's happened. Now, people are talking about peak earnings in oil companies. And then that you would think that that would make the prices drop. And the next thing you know, it'll go to 92, you know?
Yeah.
So because they're still very profitable and that stuff. What about these fertilizer companies, Mosaic and CF?
Hey, before you jump over to those guys, a couple of little stocks for you guys out there. I've played these for years and they swing back and forth within a few bucks, but they stay under $10. So you're looking for something cheap and get some decent swings.
Sure.
Rig and WTI. Really love those guys. Love to play those up and down. You know, Rig will get down in the $2 range, then range up to $4 or $5.
Yeah.
WTI will go, it's been as high as $9, but it'll go down to the $3 range and then go up to $6. These are ones you can kind of just see it on there.
The symbol on WTI?
It's WTI. It's WNT Offshore Inc. is the name of the company.
Oh, there it is. WTI. Yeah. It has the same symbol as the other thing. Yeah.
But you can see they have these really good little patterns where they crank up like that, then fall back down, crank up and fall back down. Yeah. WT's in an upswing right now. But, I just was selling on it when it was at $3 a little bit ago and already getting out for a profit and everything. But the option premiums are pretty good for you options players out there. Especially if you sell, you can sell like, you know, on even Rig, you can sell, if you're willing to go out a few months, you can sell at $2 and $2.50 and pick up, you know, 10 plus percent return on risk and stuff. So these guys are some good ones that are nice to have in your arsenal if you want to play some stocks that do tend to swing and do it on a pretty regular basis and are pretty predictable that way.
What about AMD?
Really sideways. Yeah. Anka? Rig is really, yeah.
What about it's been like that forever. It just ranges up and down. It's great if you want to.
I would not
buy
Rig. Yeah, that WTI may not be a bad idea, but it's still looking like, yeah. WTI may be an idea, but only if it trades over 506. Funds are not interested if it's into the $4. Mm-hmm. They're not going to create the pressure. There was some algo action into $4.10 that pushed it a little bit higher, but it's outside of the algo action now.
Yeah, remember, I come at it from an option selling thinking. So,
oh, gotcha.
I'm selling naked puts on it. I'm selling covered calls if I want to buy some shares and run up. I'm selling spreads on it if I want to sell like a $3 by $2 spread on WTI when it gets down to about $3 and pick up, do a $1 spread and get 30, 40 cents for it. You know, almost a 30, 40% return on risk for that and have it run away from it, buy it back for 5 cents. Yeah, you do 100 contracts on that. You're making some good money, 10, you know, even 10, 20. And you're not playing with a ton of money at it. So those are the type of things that I like to do on those with the swings.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Anka, on the consumer staple-y type stuff, well, not staples, but, you know, like a Home Depot and a McDonald's. What do you think about Starbucks? They got earnings coming out here this week. You know, they've been kind of coming back a little bit.
They have been coming back. They're definitely trying to reverse a little bit. They have been, you know, downtrending, but they're definitely have flipped to the upside. They're uptrending. They're moving a little bit higher. I think that they have a price target into $90. I don't take any swings ahead of earnings. Mm-hmm. Or any trades ahead of earnings, but I just wait for the earnings and then, you know, see if the pattern reassesses itself, if it, you know, creates some kind of a peg action or pin action or, you know, kind of like Amazon is with the inside double doji probably into the end of the day today. That's a really strong sign. But I can't say anything ahead of earnings. I have no idea what's going to happen into earnings. But, you know, from the chart pattern, I could see that, yeah, it can potentially move a little bit higher and has room to about $90, but mm-hmm. it also has a lot of resistance into 90. So, I would wait until after earnings, you know, for day trades. Yeah, totally day tradable, but I'm not going to make any kind of, let's say,
big forecast. What about on your solar, Anka? Have you done anything with either SFN or SunPower?
No, I pretty much, I have been pretty much focused on the energy sector. We have rode it to the upside and we were heavy into consumer defensive. We were heavy into tech last week. We played Microsoft, massive profits in Microsoft on that move up. We did NVIDIA, QCOM, those kind of stocks. Yeah.
What about I got one that I own called RRC. Are you into that at all? RRC?
No.
It's a natural gas deal.
We play natural gas though.
How do you play it with LNG?
With futures. Yeah.
With the contracts itself.
Yeah. It was massive.
Yeah. Now this thing's been a money maker. This thing's been a money maker because, you know, obviously it's in the natural gas business and natural gas.
Yes.
They went down to 556. That was clearly a place to buy it. You had supported around 550 on natural gas, didn't you?
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it went to eight and change in like a day, right?
Yeah. We got in. Let me see. Natural gas. We got in a little bit earlier because the contract was rolling and I don't want to live through the roll.
Right.
Okay, so we got out at, I think it was a little bit over $8, and we picked it up at $7.50.
I got you. And
that was about $13,000 per contract.
Like I say, it went down to that 550, and if you had a longer term chart, these moving averages would be underneath it. And so that's where I got the 550 from. And then, of course, once it jumps above six, then you're back on the bicycle.
And let me tell you, I went back and forth into natural gas because I really didn't love the trade that much. And I kept on going back and forth in the trading. It's like, I really don't know if I want to take it. And I'm like, I don't know if I can take it or not. Yeah. But I said, we're going to take it with a very small risk. So it was, we got it at $7.50. We had a stop at $7 and we pretty much had a target in all the way into $8. It went a little bit above $8. In fact, it went to $9.70 or something.
Well, is there any other stock? Is there any other stock that you tend to, you know, I mean, there's 9 million stocks out there. Is there any other ones that you kind of zero in on? Do you zero in on like an Nvidia? Do you zero in on a Advanced Micro Devices, something where you're going to get volatility?
I actually, what I do is I typically scan during the weekend and I go through, so I use a scanner, but I use the ideas from the scanner. They give me like, you know, all sorts of ideas, but I tend to focus more on the SPX 100. And I scan through that. I scan through full NASDAQ then. And I try to find, you know, where the money may be based on setups, based on the strategies that I use. And I didn't really find a lot of trades this weekend. So I'm going to run another scan tonight to see if there are other opportunities out there. And pretty much all the tech stocks have reached resistance at this point. Like I said, you know, we pretty much were ready for an inside day today for some kind of, you know, some kind of slowdown in the momentum. Right. So we already had 3 days of massive momentum to the upside following the earnings. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, it was a good smooth ride to the upside. But let's not forget, the weekly charts are still in a downtrend. This was just a rally into resistance. The daily chart, even though it's a little bit extended, it has already formed the uptrend. So we're officially in an uptrend, and this is a pullback within the uptrend. So now we have to see, you know, pretty much what's going to set up. If we're going to get a little bit of steeper pullback, I would love it. Let's say in the queues or, you know, spies or anything, but right now we're into resistance and not a lot of volume. And let's not forget, it's August. So the volume is going to be a little thin. The volatility is only going to come from earnings and we still have some. So I would say, cause you asked me, you know, what my focus would be. I love AMD, right? And AMD reports tomorrow after the close.
Right.
So yeah. I'm really interested in AMD. I don't own it. I don't have a trade in it, but I do love the stock. So I'm very curious to see what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Also, PayPal is going to report earnings. So it's on my radar because PayPal has the mouth watering. And I think I'm going to dab into some long-term PayPal here, because if you look at the monthly chart in PayPal, it is mouthwatering. It is doing a monthly total rotation with the trigger that came in today.
And Elliott Management is in there now. So maybe if maybe they needed to have a school teacher come in and get the class in order, and maybe that's what's happening.
Yes. I just love PayPal. I think they're going to grab some today for some long-term, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah. All right. We're coming to the top of the hour. So we got to tell everybody how to get a hold of us, and also what they're going to do when they do get a hold of us. So Dave, again, just the 12-Minute Trader, a little bit more, you know, you come to you, you offer education, but you also have different ideas as well, right?
Yeah, so complete, you know, holistic education service, do a weekly newsletter every week where I go top down in the market, a lot, some of what you saw today. I do a video analysis of everything. Every trade that I do, I set up and show so that people can learn how I do things, why I do them, kind of look over my shoulder, if you will. Every trade's published, like I said, going back to 2013. And we do five different strategies on a weekly basis. So you have five different ones to pick from. And then also, for those of you that know Doc Severson, he runs the Target 100 daily income service for us. So he does a trade every day with a 2% target, a 2% return on risk. Every single day is what we're trying to make. And, you know, very high win rate trades. In fact, we haven't lost one to date so far this year. So it's real consistent, you know, again, base hits, water dripping on a rock, consistent income strategy, learning how to do that and manage the risk around it. So for those of you that have an interest or learn a little bit more, if you go to 12minutetrading.com/CFN, okay, there's a, you can sign up and get you, you know, some free videos as well as a couple eBooks that I've done on how to build a winning strategy and everything, as well as other bonus content and everything we have. So just sign up there and you'll get, you'll get all that to your inbox. And, you know, thanks for listening. And hopefully you took something away today.
Yeah. And thanks a lot, Dave. Good to have you with us. Anka, how do people get a hold of you? And of course, explain a little bit about what they get when they do.
All right. So everybody can go to our website. It is tradeoutloud.com. And in fact, we do have an open house next week where we have 3 days where you get to trade with me. So if you don't have a strategy that offers you consistent income, that offers you consistent results, you could definitely, you know, come into the trading room. We trade less than 2 hours a day. In fact, today we were done in 15 minutes, collected 60 points in NASDAQ. That's the equivalent of $1,200 per contract. Okay. So you can trade with us. Then that is October 9th, 10th, or 11th. You're going to have a pop-up window that is going to be on our website when you first log in. And you could also definitely, you know, send me an email. I will send you the registration link and all that fun stuff. Emails are going to go out, so get on our list. And we also are going to have a 3-day wealth ecosystem challenge. That is going to be the following week. So we have a lot of free events. All these are free, 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 where we teach you, you know, how to trade and all that stuff. So it's going to be really cool. So if you want to trade with me, the open house is next week, 3 days. And we have a challenge, build your wealth ecosystem income and wealth ecosystem with us. And that is the following week, starting with the 16th. So that's August 16th through the 18th.
Perfect. Okay, guys, thanks for being here. As far as Option Professor is concerned, we do have a PDF report on how to hedge or protect yourself from market declines, as well as hedging upside surprises like we saw in the last month. August and September are two of the worst months for the stock market. So being aware of how to hedge yourself either up or down is very important. So go to optionprofessor.com and get the PDF reports you see there on your screen. And we'll be more than happy to help you with that. Again, thank you guys for being here, Dave and Anka. We had a great time.
Guys.
And like I say, we definitely offered out some information people can definitely learn from. So this is great. I'm going to send it back to David and we'll talk to you guys down the road. Okay.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right. Great show. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app, or you can just go straight to timingresearch.com and get access to today's event as soon as I can get it posted, as well as any of the past shows or events. And for future events, I just want to mention that Anka and I are planning our next Synergy Trader events, and those will be September 6th, 7th, and 8th will be Fibonacci and Elliott Wave trading. And then on November 15th, 16th, and 17th, we'll have our third annual Synergy Traders Friendsgiving conference, which is Open Topic. So be sure to join us for that. And now I just want to thank my guests again for today. Dave Lucas of 12 Minute Trading, Anka Metcalf of TradeOutLoud.com, and The Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.